Welcome to episode 323 of the Entertainment 2.0 podcast, brought to you by thedigitalmediazone.com. I'm your host and producer, Josh Pollard, and this is the show where we talk about Microsoft Entertainment technology, including audio, video, gaming, and more across all Windows platforms. Normally, I'm here with Richard Gunther, but unfortunately, it was another crazy, crazy week. He's traveling, and even my schedule got pretty insane, so just barely trying to get a show out here so that you guys are caught up on all the latest news. If you'd like to send us some feedback for a future episode, you can do that by emailing us, entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com, or calling us and leaving us a message at 877-856-4933. Only one email to read to you this week, and this one is from Gary. He says, "I just sat up late to watch this entertaining sci-fi film on the future of cloning. It's called The Island, and it's good to know that even so far into the dystopian future, there will be hugely overpowered muscle cars, and Microsoft will still be selling Xbox VR and old logos. Or was it a case of shameless product placement and Ewan McGregor needed a quick cash injection?" All right, thanks for the email, Gary. Dystopian sci-fi films with lots of Microsoft stuff. That sounds right up my alley. I'm going to have to look into this one. I checked a little bit earlier for anyone wanting to watch The Island. It's not on Netflix. You're going to have to pay for this one if you want to watch it. Amazon does have it for rental or purchase if you're into the streaming way of getting your movies. So that's probably going to be your best bet. But I'm imagining that if Amazon has it, a lot of the other places, Apple, Vudu, maybe even Xbox Video would probably all have it also. That's it for the feedback. So we'll jump right into the topics. I'm guessing that, like the feedback section, this is going to be a shorter episode. You've only got me, so only you get half the opinions on all the news topics this week. And it just hasn't been as much news this week, which is okay after such a huge news week last week. So jumping into the video related topics, more news from Windows 10, the big update that we're expecting to come this summer. This time, the update is about subtitle support in videos. We've seen a lot of updates from Microsoft on enhancements coming to audio and video support in Windows 10, including MKV support and things like that. Well, this week, Gabe All, prolific Microsoft Twitterer replied to someone asking about subtitle formats in videos and what might or might not be supported in Windows 10 natively. And he replied to say that the following three formats would all be supported: SSA, ASS, and SRT of the UTF-8 unformatted variety. I'm not going to pretend that I know a lot about subtitles. It's not an area that I spend a lot of time focusing on. I'm normally watching movies either really loud, where I don't have to worry about turning on subtitles to be able to hear things, or with headphones on, where I'm in a similar situation. So I don't know a lot about subtitle formats, but I know that it is something that a lot of our listeners do care about, and hopefully these three formats will be enough to get you the support that you need, especially in our multilingual listening audience. I know there's some of you out there that we've gotten some emails in the past from some of you who maybe live in one country but were born and raised in another, and so you're getting movies from different countries, and you have to watch them with subtitles, and if you're ripping them, that leads to a whole nother set of problems. So hopefully these will cover you. I know SRT is a really popular one, and it looks like the other two are really popular in the anime scene. So I'm thinking this is probably going to cover the vast majority of the subtitle situations out there. So this is more great news to have just more common video functionality just natively supported in Windows 10. The other big video news this week is that Star Wars, for the first time ever, is going to be released digitally. And when I say Star Wars, I mean all six of the main movies. Episodes 1 through 6 are going to be coming to pretty much all of the major online video retailers this coming Friday, April 10th. You can pre-order all of the movies now. You can get them for $19.99 each, or you can order all six and get them in a bundle for $99.99, saving you $20, basically getting one of those movies for free. I would consider that episode one being the free one, because that was probably the worst of the six. So you can, of course, get these on Xbox Video, and I'm sure, like many retailers, they're offering some special bundles here. If you pre-order it on Xbox Video, you'll get an R2-D2 Xbox Live avatar, which may or may not be all that great. You might love your avatar already, but maybe the more interesting extra that you'll get from Xbox Video is a Star Wars pinball pack for Pinball FX2. Pinball FX2 is a really, really popular pinball game. So if you're into Star Wars, which you obviously would be to be dropping $100 on a digital edition of Star Wars, then that's a pretty nice add-in to get for free. It will work on Pinball FX2 for both Xbox One and Xbox 360, in case you haven't made the jump to the latest generation. And just to be clear, these versions of Star Wars, they're not the originals. These are the quote-unquote special editions. So if you're still holding out for those non-special editions where George Lucas hasn't gone in and changed a whole bunch of things, then unfortunately you're still going to be waiting, because these aren't going to be the editions for you. But if you're just looking to get all of these Star Wars movies digitally, then this is going to be a pretty easy way to get them. Now keep in mind, the Star Wars properties are now owned by Disney, which means no native ultraviolet support. You're going to have to go through Disney's locker, but Disney's digital locker is supported by some apps like Vudu. So if you're trying to go that route, know that you're not going to have native ultraviolet support, but there is still some support from some of the other digital video locker systems out there. Moving on to the gaming news this week, another pretty light week in gaming news. We see Microsoft releasing the April system update. This is the one that we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks, where Microsoft released it in two parts to preview users over the past roughly 3 weeks. Now, when they did those two separate updates, they had all of these features spread out between the two. So there was updates to party chat, support for, you know, doing that as with dedicated servers for people who are having firewall issues, improvements to the game hubs. I think perhaps one of the biggest and best enhancements would be the achievement notification changes. So now when an achievement pops up that you've achieved while playing a game, and not only says the name of the achievement, the notification then flips over and gives you the description so that you don't have to bring up the achievements app, which is pretty slow to load, to find out what it was that you just got this achievement for. And then the other update that we're seeing in the April system update is the addition of the What's On feature. This is a new section on the start screen of the Xbox One that's in between the friends and the store section that works with your One guide to show you popular things that are on TV right now. It's a pretty nice little feature that, you know, if you're using One guide, it's nice to, you know, turn on your Xbox One and see what's on right now that a lot of people are watching that's really popular. So that's cool. But for our listeners who really pay attention, you'll notice that there's a feature missing that we had talked about over the last couple of weeks, and that is audio messages. The feature that's been around on the Xbox 360 for what seems like forever. Apparently, there are some issues that have been reported by the testers. So that is the one feature that isn't actually making it to the public release. So if you really were for some reason really excited about being able to send audio messages to your Xbox Live friends and you're not in the Xbox preview program, you're going to have to hold off for a little while longer. My guess would be a May release of that. So, you know, Richard and I, over the last couple of weeks, we were trying to guess, would Microsoft release this update as one update, as they've done in the past, well, for the entire existence of the Xbox One, or would it be two separate updates, just like they did on the preview side? And Richard took the more optimistic point of view that Microsoft would do this right and do one release for the month of April, and I was the more negative one, assuming that they're probably going to end up doing two public releases here. And, well, I can say that I'm happy to say that I was wrong in this case and that Microsoft is actually doing this correctly and putting out one public release on the Xbox One this month. Only one more story really worth talking about on the gaming side of things this week, and that is the game Quantum Break. You might not be familiar with this game, well, because it's not out. And that's the news here, really, is that Microsoft has pushed back the release of Quantum Break to sometime in 2016. Now, I hope that means early 2016, because the article over at the Xbox Wire made it sound like the only reason, or at least the primary reason, for pushing this game back to 2016 is that this fall is just too jam-packed with other big titles. You've got, of course, Halo 5, Forza Motorsport 6, the next Tomb Raider game, and on top of that, lots of huge third-party releases, Star Wars Battlefront, another Call of Duty game I'm sure will come out this fall. So there are some huge, huge titles coming out this fall, and it sounds like they're just trying to get this out of that incredibly busy season to push it off into a time where there might not be quite so much competition for it to get lost in the shuffle. So hopefully Quantum Break is going to be early 2016, hopefully first quarter there, because when we first got a look at this game back at E3 of 2013, this game looked phenomenal. Even Richard, who obviously is not a big gamer, even Richard thought that this Quantum Break game looked amazing. It's made by Remedy. They're the guys who made Alan Wake and Max Payne, two great games over the past decade. And this one, it's an action third-person game that deals a lot with shifting time. And all of the trailers make this game look really, really cool. So I'm disappointed not to see it this fall, but I think it probably does make sense to get it out of the craziness of holiday 2015 and move it into, like I said, hopefully early 2016. There's not really much going on in the mobile space with Windows Phone. We're still really just kind of waiting on Windows 10, and with it, a new phone, so which we don't expect to see until this summer either. So yet another week where there's not really much to talk about on the mobile side. And frankly, even in other Microsoft news, not a lot to talk about. The big news, of course, over the last couple of weeks has been Surface 3. And well, Microsoft hasn't really put out much more news since the big Surface 3 announcement over the last week, which we talked about last week. Microsoft isn't the only company we cover, though. There's other media news to discuss, and this week saw a couple of pretty big announcements. The first one, new hardware from Roku. It seems like forever since we've seen a new Roku device. So, new Roku 4? No, they're making things a little bit more confusing and releasing new versions of the Roku 2 and the Roku 3. That seems really confusing, but that's how they're choosing to do it. So what they're doing here is both the new Roku 2 and 3 will have the same hardware and the same price that they've had. You know, the Roku 2 is still going to be $70, but the main difference is that the Roku 3 is getting a new remote that has a microphone built into it, much like the Apple Fire TV, and for the same purpose. You can grab the remote and speak your search query into it. The Roku 3 has so many apps that it just makes sense to be able to use your voice to quickly search for what it is that you'd like to watch instead of having to tap it out with the remote, or even worse, an on-screen keyboard, which is always miserable with a remote control. If you've already got a Roku 3, the only difference there is this new microphone. So if you don't want to update, if you don't want to upgrade, then you don't have to at all, even if you want the speech functionality, because they're also updating their mobile apps. If you're okay with the idea of pulling out your phone, launching the Roku app, and doing your voice search through your phone, then you don't need to update at all if you're going from the Roku 3. Now, maybe if you're sitting on an aging Roku 2, you might be ready for a performance improvement over that pretty ancient hardware at this point. But if you do that, again, you're not going to get that microphone, but the voice support app is going to work with either the Roku 2 or the Roku 3. So that's the new stuff on the hardware side with Roku, but there's also a new feature coming to it on the software side, and that is a new feature that they're calling Feed. I really like this idea. So the way it works is, let's say there's a movie coming out, or it's in theaters now, like let's say Furious 7, pretty obvious pick for me, and you want to see this movie, but you're not the type of person to go to theaters, so you'd like to see it once you could watch it on your Roku. But what if you forget about it in 6 months, but you still want to see it? Well, what you can do is use the Roku Feed to tag, essentially, a movie that you'd like to watch. And then as it becomes available on services that are on the Roku, it'll tell you. I think this makes total sense. TiVo has had similar features like this in the past. Heck, I think even Netflix had this a really, really long time ago. Back before I had Netflix, for sure, I remember having friends tell me that you could put an item in your Netflix disc queue. That's how long ago we're talking about here. For movies that had just come out in the theaters, so they're not even out on disc yet, but you could put them in your Netflix queue so that when they did come out on disc, you could get them without having to remember movies that came out 9 months ago to get them to watch in the comfort of your own living room. So I really like this feature. It makes total sense for the way that we consume video now. The other big news this week from the media industry is that HBO Now is finally available. This had to be available this week because HBO promised us that it would be available prior to the premiere of Game of Thrones, which is this coming Sunday. So they had to get it out now. I frankly would have expected them to get this out a little bit earlier so that they could try to work out some of the bugs before, you know, the entire universe tries to watch Game of Thrones all at the same time. You know that that's just, it's not possibly going to hold up to that kind of stress on the first weekend. Now, HBO has done one thing to potentially curb the number of people all trying to stream one show at the exact same time, and that's that it is still a limited release. If you want to sign up for HBO Now, you have to be an Apple customer. You have to have an iOS device, and that includes iPads, iPhones, or an Apple TV, of course. It's the only way to sign up for HBO Now is through an iOS device. Even just having a Mac isn't enough. It has to be through an iOS device. How much is it going to cost you? Simple. $15 a month gets you access to everything. I'm excited about this service. It's the type of service that I wouldn't subscribe to all the time, but with having access to essentially VOD of all of their shows, I'm planning to, once it's more generally available, I'm planning to sign up for HBO Now for 1 month and catching up on all three seasons of The Newsroom. I don't need multiple months to watch. Well, I really only have two more seasons of Newsroom to watch. And then I can cancel it. And you could do the same thing with Game of Thrones or any show that you want. There's no contracts. So sign up for whatever it is that you want to watch and then cancel. You know, if you don't have to have Game of Thrones the night that it comes out, if you could wait until the season is over, you could save yourself some money by only signing up for as much time as it takes you to binge through the current season of Game of Thrones or however many seasons you need. And that sounds great. So what I'm really hoping for here is, all right, we've got HBO Now coming to iOS devices, but I'm sure it's coming to lots of other platforms too. Here's hoping it comes to all of the Microsoft platforms. I want to see this as a universal app on Windows 8 and on Windows Phone. And of course, it has to come to the Xbox One. That's where everybody really wants to watch it, is on their big screens in the living room. So hopefully we'll see that come in once this Apple exclusivity deal is over and everyone will be able to enjoy HBO Now. I told you it was a light week, and it really was, because we're already done with all of the news for this week. But we always like to end this show by talking about the things that we've been watching and doing in our own entertainment centers. This week's been a busier week for me. I ended up finishing The Walking Dead Season 5, so I'm all caught up on The Walking Dead. And of course, I'm not going to spoil anything, but I gotta say, I'm a little disappointed with that season finale. It just didn't leave you hanging the way so many other season finales have. And frankly, it kind of feels like we're leading into another season that's going to be really similar to one of the previous seasons. I won't even say which one, so as not to potentially spoil it for anybody. We're also, my wife and I, we've made a little bit more progress on our attempt to get through all of the Marvel movies prior to Avengers Age of Ultron. We've got less than a month at this point, so we've got to really get cranking. And this weekend, we watched the first Captain America movie. I think we both liked it. I know I liked it. It might be the one that I've liked the most of all of the movies we've watched. But in all fairness, it's the one that I was the most looking forward to, so it makes sense, probably. It's not like I think that any of these movies stands far and above the rest of them. As we've discussed a lot, I'm apparently just not that big of a Marvel superhero fan. The movies are good, they're entertaining, but they're not fantastic. They're not leaving me, you know, wanting to rewatch them or you know, really thirsting to watch the next one. I do want to watch them, and while I did really like Captain America, I think the next one in the series is probably the one I'm even more excited for, and that's odd because it's the one that we've actually already seen, and that's the first Avengers movie. But the first time we watched it, we hadn't watched any of these other movies, so we didn't have any of the backstory, and my wife, who's never been into comic books, she didn't really know anything about any of these characters, and most of these characters I didn't really know much about, because most of my comic book experience has been centered largely around X-Men and then a little bit around, you know, Batman and Spider-Man I knew somewhat about, but I didn't really know anything about any of these guys. Frankly, the only thing I knew about Captain America was that it took place during World War II and he ran around with a shield, that I didn't understand why you would go after people who have guns with a shield, but you know, it worked out. It was cool. So Avengers is up next. Then we've still got the second Thor movie, the second Captain America Winter Soldier, which I've heard is really good. And I believe the one immediately following Avengers is Iron Man 3, which I've heard is the worst of the Iron Man movies. So I'm really not looking forward to that one, but we're still going to do it. I had also been thinking that there were Incredible Hulk movies for us to watch with Mark Ruffalo, but apparently I found out today there aren't. They stopped making, you know, they didn't make new Incredible Hulk movies after the two that they had made at the beginning of the 2000s that were both terrible. We saw both of those and neither of them were good. So my wife is disappointed that there isn't a Mark Ruffalo version of a Hulk movie to watch. She really likes him as an actor, but I'm happy that I don't have to watch a movie from a character that I have absolutely zero interest in watching, and we just don't have enough time to be adding more movies onto this list before Age of Ultron comes out at the beginning of May. I've also, now that I've finished The Walking Dead, I'm back to The West Wing. I can see the end. The end is in sight. I am a few episodes into season 6. There are only 7 seasons. So, and at this point, you know, I'm well into the episodes that I had watched back when the show originally aired. So while I don't remember the fine details of all of these episodes, I at least remember where this is going and how the whole series ends. And so it's fun to see all of that coming together and shaping itself out, you know, more than a season and a half away at this point. But man, I still really, really love this series. You know, I can't think of many other shows where I could essentially binge watch them for 7 months, which is basically what I've done with The West Wing. It's really that good. And then on the gaming side, I spent a little bit of time this week playing some more Forza Horizon, of course, inspired by playing through all of the Fast and the Furious version of Forza Horizon. But I also played one of the games that's free with gold this month, and that is Pool Nation FX. And I love playing pool in real life. Absolutely love to play pool. And so I'm a sucker for a really good pool video game. Unfortunately, Pool Nation FX isn't really that great. The actual pool itself is okay, but it feels like there's just too many buttons and like the Xbox One controller has 2 analog sticks, a D-pad, you know, 4 bumper buttons, all the face buttons, and Pool Nation FX uses every single one of them, and pool shouldn't be that complicated. You know, I've played probably a dozen games of pool in this game already, and I still find myself pausing it to look at the list of buttons to see what they do because I can't remember because there's so many. So that's frustrating, but eventually you get over things like that. What's even more frustrating is the loading time. When you start this game, I'm not kidding, you wait for close to 5 minutes before the game has finished loading and you can actually start playing a game of pool. It is ridiculous and it borders on unacceptable. Now, if I had paid money for this game, I would be furious. But fortunately, it's free this month for Xbox Live Gold members. And so I guess I can live with it. The other thing is that there just isn't anything else to this game other than play a game of pool. If you lose, you have to play it again and then move on to the next one. You're gaining XP, but it doesn't seem like the XP really gives you anything. Like, it's just, there's not much to it. It's just play pool, play this tournament, go on to the next game. There's really just not much else there. And in 2015, when we're used to like free-to-play games, which have all of these extra things going on, or think about Forza Horizon. Oh, it's just a driving game, but you've got, you know, boards along the side of the road to smash and online road trips. And, you know, there's a bunch of different things to do in a game like Forza Horizon or, you know, lots of these other, especially free-to-play games. And then to get this game and have it just be the main game with nothing else to really do in it seems really disappointing to me. So is it worth downloading for free? If you like pool, yes. But if you don't get it this month, I don't think I would recommend to anybody to actually pay money for this game. It's just not that good of a pool game. All right, one more announcement before I get out of here this week. This is your last opportunity to jump in on the raffle that we're having. We've talked a lot about our adoption. We're going to China this summer to meet and bring home our daughter, Gia, and I can't tell you how excited we are about that, but it's a big expense, and so we're trying to raise some money to help us do that, and in doing so, we're also trying to make sure you get something out of it, too. So we're giving away an iPad Mini 2. You just need to run on over to our website, greatwalltogreatlakes.com. We'll have a link straight to it in the show notes. And you give a donation, you get some entries into the contest. And we're pulling the name out of the hat April 15th. So you've only got a couple of days left to get your donation in and get your chance at a brand new iPad Mini 2 shipped straight to you as soon as we pull, hopefully, your name out of the hat. So thank you to everyone who's already donated. We've already got some listeners who have donated, and I can't tell you how thankful and appreciative we are of everyone who's donated to help us bring Gia home this summer. All right, well, that's it for the news, what's going on, and our announcements. So if you'd like to get a hold of us for a future episode, you can do that in a bunch of different ways. We're on Twitter. I say we're on Twitter, even though I'm the only one talking. It's not just me on the show. We also have the other host, Richard Gunther, who just couldn't be here this week. He's on Twitter at Richard Gunther. I'm at Josh Pollard, and the website is at Digi Media Zone, D-I-G-I Media Zone. We're on Facebook at facebook.com/the DMZ. We're also on Google Plus. There's that voicemail number I mentioned earlier, 877-856-4933, or just email at entertainment20@thedigitalmediazone.com. It's a long email address. If you can't remember it, just go to the website, hit up the contact form, and send us an email straight from the website. You can also check out some of our other podcasts. We've got The End User with Chris and Taylor talking about the latest tech news from the end user perspective, and Home On, Richard's other show, covering the latest home automation and control news. Just this week, a new episode out featuring Jim Collison. I'm sure a lot of our listeners know that name, from theaverageguy.tv. He's also over on the Home Service Show quite frequently, and sometimes he's on Surface Geeks. So you'll probably recognize Jim Collison. It's another great episode, primarily catching up on the news. So another great episode of Home On. Both of those are available on iTunes, Zune, Stitcher Radio, TuneIn Radio, pretty much anywhere where you can find podcasts, you can find all of our shows. And we'd appreciate it if, while you're out there subscribing to the shows, if you'd give us a rating or a review. That helps us expand the audience and help more people. So the other last way that you can talk to us is in real time. Because we normally, although not this week, we normally record the show live Tuesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern at the DMZ. Your best way to find out when and where we're recording live, just follow us on Twitter, because we'll tweet it with the link straight to the live page, and you can jump into the chat room and talk with us and other listeners while we record the show. But that's going to do it for episode 323. I'm Josh Pollard, and I'll be back next week for episode 324. Until then, adios.